from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
New England had the parameters of a trade in place with San Francisco. That wasn't the issue, but they weren't getting a great vibe here as they tried to conduct communication with Brandon Ayuk and his agent. And the longer it went on, the worse they felt about it. And eventually they said, what are we doing here? Let's just focus in on the young receivers that we have. They feel like they're excited about them. And rather than go ahead and give up a huge amount of compensation to the 49ers, after or before going ahead to give up what would be a big contract to Brandon Ayuk that he didn't seem overly receptive about getting, they said, we're just going to stand pat and stand down. And so the Patriots have bowed out, and they will not be pursuing any further trade for Brandon Ayuk.
Good Sunday to you. Welcome to the pinnacle of sports entertainment, KJ and Lions. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937 here on WEEI. John, that's Adam Schefter on ESPN earlier this week explaining why Brandon Ayuk has now become the third bigger receiver, big time receiver one, that says no to the Patriots. And I ask you, why is that?
Hey, KJ, I think it's a combination of reasons here, right? And we've talked many times about free agency across all sports, but especially the NFL. And I've always said there are two things above all that generally motivate free agents to sign somewhere: winning and money. Now, some guys prioritize the money. Most do. Some prioritize the winning. Some, it's a mix of both. And I think with these receivers that have said no, specifically Ayuk, and then you can even put Calvin Ridley a few months ago in that basket as well, you look at the Patriots right now, and maybe they can offer you the most money. It sounds like they did for Ayuk, or at least they were, you know, right there with the most money offers. But it's not a situation where you look at and you come in and you say, all right, I'm going to have a chance to go deep in the playoffs. There's an uncertain quarterback situation there. Now, we could sit here and have faith in Drake May to be the future of the franchise, but if you're a guy like Ayuk and you look around the league, and let's say one of your options is the Cleveland Browns, just say, well, Deshaun Watson at least has a proven track record of being a good NFL quarterback. I know he was injured last year. So you look at the Patriots and say, well, yeah, maybe I'll get paid there, but I can also get paid in Cleveland. I can also get paid in Pittsburgh. I might even get paid in San Francisco. And all those teams have better offensive situations than the Patriots right now and better chances to make the playoffs as well. And I think ultimately for me, my opinion, I think for Ayuk, that's what it came down to.
John, watch this. Maybe the Patriots missed the ball by not taking Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, because here, look, Ayuk said no to the most money. I mean, probably $2 or $3 million more than what his market is, right?
Yeah, if Calvin, they had given him $32 million.
Calvin Ridley says
two or three.
Calvin Ridley says no. Okay, and you're like, all right, I get that. Maybe because you're coming out of Florida and the tax situation, you go to Tennessee. There's no state tax there. Maybe you want to keep more of your money. I think Massachusetts is going to have to, you know, because this is an expensive place. And I think for some of these players, they're like, what am I getting in return? Do I see other people like myself, other than just other sports athletes that are living here? And if you say the answer is no, then you're like, I might not be going there. And then, of course, DeAndre Hopkins, which I thought was personal with him and Bill O'Brien, just kind of a way to stick it in Bill O'Brien's face to see him one more time just to say no. But now you almost have to say the wide receiver is really the only spot left on the football field where you're talking about high-end player, high maintenance. You know what I mean? Like superstar player and superstar money really now lies only in the wide receiver and the quarterback position. The running back position has completely changed. Now, I would ask, if they're not coming when you're asking for the most, what free agent is going to come here that's a superstar, even if the quarterback situation is somewhat settled in 2 years? I don't see anybody coming.
And I would put Hopkins in a different boat than kind of Ayuk and Ridley, just because
better than what was here. That was the situation with Hopkins.
And I won't argue that. What I'm saying is new regime, right? New head coach, new GM, all that. Now, and you've had these two guys just in the last, you know, 4 months or whatever, 5 months since March, both say no to you with high money offers. Now, maybe the Titans offered a little bit more money for Ridley than the Patriots did, but with Ayuk, it really seems like from all reporting, they either had the most money or at worst were a close second. But
like $32 million.
Yeah, and that would have made him a top three highest paid receiver in the league. So you offer him the most money. And again, look, if you're Ayuk, you can look around and say, well, I could get, say, $30 million from the Browns or $29 or $30 from the 49ers, but get to the playoffs, potentially go deep in the playoffs, so get playoff game checks, get more endorsements, have better stats. So if you're, like, I get it. Like, I wanted Ayuk here. I was hoping he'd come. I think he would have walked on the field and been the best player they had on offense. But
what was my text to you?
But I understand
what did
why.
What did I text you when the news first broke? What did I text you? You know, not exactly, just paraphrase. What did I say?
You said that, I don't remember exactly. It was like he would have been the best guy. I don't remember exactly.
No, I did not say that. I said, you know how this is going to play out. Most likely there's a third team involved, and that the Patriots are not going to get him. Cleveland has probably a better chance.
Yeah, and again, I said from the beginning, I agree with you. I think Cleveland had a better chance. Well, it's been a long week, KJ. But I thought they had a better chance to land him. And also another piece of this, too. Like I mentioned, winning and money was the thing that draws a lot of free agents, okay? So not only are the Patriots, KJ, are they not winning now, even their connection to the years of winning is gone, right? Because even last offseason and the offseason before, you still had Bill Belichick, you still had Matt Slater, even a couple of years ago, you still had Devin McCourty, a few years ago, you still had Josh McDaniels. Like all these guys that have won multiple Super Bowls, now you look around, okay, Gerard Mayo won a Super Bowl here, but it was as a player 10 years ago, so he hasn't won one as a coach. Elliott Wolf hasn't been a Super Bowl GM here. And you look at on the roster.
You think it's that deep with free agent players?
And you correct me if I'm wrong on this. I think there's only two guys on the entire Patriots roster that have won multiple Super Bowls, and Jonathan Jones and David Andrews. So not only, like last year at this time, if Ayuk was a free agent, he might have been able to look at it and say, well, they still have Belichick. You know, he's won a bunch of Super Bowls. Maybe he can turn things around there. Like now, even that side hope, if you will, apart from the money, even that piece of it's gone. So for the Patriots to get a marquee free agent, especially on offense, really what needs to happen is they either need to blow the guy out of the water with money, or Drake May, over the course of this year and into next year, has to evolve into one of the best young quarterbacks in the league and look like a franchise guy. And of course, I mean, I hope that will happen, but that's far from certain that's going to happen. And if he does, then maybe next offseason they can attract guys. But right now, I mean, no surprise at all to me that a guy like Brandon Ayuk looked around the league and found or is able to find better situations.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. We'll be talking to Tommy Freeze Pops Carroll here in about 15 minutes. He's down at Patriots camp getting ready for Gerard Mayo's presser this morning around 10. Plus, we've also got the Lions Den and a feature that might get us all beat up called Just the Jag. That's still to come here. So, John, what if I said to you that potentially that maybe players just don't want to come and play in New England and live here? What if I told you that some players are kind of like, why would I go live there when the climate of NIL and college football is giving these players money. I'm not drafted by that team, so it's not like they own my rights for X amount of years. And look, I say that Drake May is the right pick. You don't have a quarterback. You don't know what you'll pay for a bad quarterback, and you don't. So you might as well get one that you can control. That's going to be the more important position long term. But if you're talking about getting star receivers to come here, you would almost ask them because they all tend to be kind of, they have alpha personalities kind of, and this is not an alpha personality kind of place. So I just wonder if they feel like, okay, players would have come before. And keep in mind, Randy Moss is really the only Hall of Fame receiver that's come to play in New England over the last 20 years. So, and that was the situation, like, please get me out of Oakland. I'm about to get banished from football for the most part. It feels like he was getting blackballed. So nobody's come here that's a flash-type receiver that's going to be Ocho Cinco, but he was on his last O, right?
Yeah.
But even more so now, these players make money in college. They have deals before they come to the NFL. Maybe these players, watch this, are thinking about quality of their complete life than just the money. Because you're right. I think that statement of, hey, 10 years ago, if you said guys are either going to take the money they can get or try and win a championship. Now it's kind of like, yeah, okay, that's great. You're giving me all the money. But what is my life going to look like outside of the field? And if I don't feel like it's going to match my persona, I'm not going to move me and my family there.
And it's almost like that NBA debate people have, like the markets, because like everyone will always go to Miami, they'll always go to LA, but a place like Foxborough, and I would put, by the way, Buffalo, Cleveland, Seattle, even some of these colder weather cities, or maybe there's a little more weather.
I would even say like, Seattle would take that off the board, because these guys are in the mindset of like, okay, technology is here. I might be able to put together some type of incubator. So I might go to Seattle because I might be able to invest in tech.
Okay.
Right.
So that's fine.
Right.
But a lot of these, and then if you want to throw, you know, Detroit, Cincinnati, some of these cities in there, like
now, that's colder, a really good argument there with Detroit.
Colder weather cities that maybe have some weather, like, yes, you can offer the most money, but I think it's more important for those cities that the team is also good, right? Like, because guys might always want to go down and play for the Dallas Cowboys, even though, look, you and I know Dallas hasn't won a Super Bowl in 30 years, but they can always attract talent because it's Texas, it's the Cowboys, it's
no
Dallas,
state
right?
tax.
It's all that stuff, right? Exactly. Like, they can always attract guys like that. And I know that's just one example, but like the 49ers can always attract guys, even when they're not good. A team like the Patriots, yeah, you can offer the most money, but if you're offering the most money and a team like Cleveland, who is better than you with a more shored up head coach and quarterback situation, is only a million or so off, the player very well is going to probably go to Cleveland because that's a better situation. Even Pittsburgh, right? Like, I know there's been a lot of debate this week. Is Pittsburgh QB situation actually better than New England's? What is Russell Wilson? What is Justin Fields? Even
well,
if you want to,
yes.
And look, I think Russell Wilson's all done, but at least he's got a proven track record of being an NFL quarterback, unlike Drake May and even Brissett, who's really not played full season. He's been in the league 8 years, but he hasn't been a starter for full seasons in places, right? But even if you want to tell me the quarterback situations are kind of equal, but in different ways, everything else about Pittsburgh is above New England. They had a better record last year, better head coach, right? Better roster around them. I mean, they almost, and I know the Patriots beat them last December, but Pittsburgh almost made the playoffs with Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky playing QB last year. Like,
they did make the playoffs.
Excuse me. That's a better situation than what you, and I'm not saying the Patriots situation can't turn around quickly and can't become better than Pittsburgh, but just if Brandon Ayuk's looking at it in August of 2024, like, Pittsburgh's a better situation for him. And they have a track record of developing star wide receivers and getting those wide receivers the ball and turning those guys, not just stars, but into superstars as well.
You ever hear the term, you hear people say sometimes, can you explain it to me in NBA terms if you're talking about another sport? I'm going to use NBA terms. Like, the Patriots are slowly becoming the Utah Jazz. If you remember a few years ago, remember in the All-Star game where they had to pick guys, think like LeBron and like KD were the guys picking guys, and the last person that got picked was Rudy Gobert. And they were like, nobody pays attention to Utah. I think that's starting to happen to the Patriots, especially in a division where you've got Miami and Tyreek Hill. And I'm not saying that they're just going to blow everybody away. You've got Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. And then you still have this ongoing story of, can Buffalo finally become the Buffalo that the national media believes? I'm thinking like, no, Buffalo's kind of a dog that may be halfway out of the woods, but people still believe that Buffalo has something. So when you're the last story in your division, and then when you look at that Carolina game on Thursday night, you're like, gosh, this might be what an actual regular season game would look like between these two teams. So I'm concerned that, like, you know, when people, this is now when you ask, was it Brady or Belichick, right? Because now the question is, who is it that got people here to play, right? Because that's the problem now. So there's no Brady, there's no Belichick, but nobody's coming, right? And if you've got Ayuk in front of you, he says no. Even with Calvin Ridley, didn't he mention something about maybe his girlfriend, about living up here?
Robert Kraft said it was his girlfriend, but I think it was actually his wife, not his girlfriend. But point being, yeah, that was
right.
The thing.
So if that's coming out, then that's telling you that they're making family decisions, not just player decision, family decisions to not come to New England, and you have to ask yourself why. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. KJ Line's just getting started. We're here at 12:30, but right now, time to trend with Jacob Lassiter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah. KJ Lyons, WEEI. Thank you so much for starting your Sunday with us. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Still to come, the Lions Den. That's in 20 minutes. Plus, we'll talk to Tommy Freeze, Pops Carroll, down at Patriots practice. Mayo's getting ready for his presser today at 10. We'll talk to him in a couple minutes. John, we were just talking about Brandon Ayuk saying no to the team and the Ridley situation, and why are these guys saying that? So if I move the ball forward, I'll give you names and you got to pick one. I want to see if we're on the same page. These are free agents available at the end of this year. I'm going to give you a name. You tell me which one you would take.
Sounds good.
Amari Cooper? Chris Godwin?
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs?
Yes.
T. Higgins?
Yes.
CeeDee Lamb?
Yes.
Now, who do you think is the one most likely the Patriots would get after you've seen what's just occurred with Ayuk and with Ridley and with, even to a lesser degree,
most likely is Cooper, probably of those names. I'd love Godwin. And a name to watch, we can get into this later. I know we got Tom Carroll coming up. DK Metcalf, KJ. Keep your eye on him. He's got two years left on his deal. They drafted Jaxon Smith-Njigba
last year. Can't we just go with these guys are free agents?
You will be in the equal pool
when you start talking about
keep
guys
your
like
eye on him.
They have X amount of years left on their deal. That means there's a trade that has to happen. Yep. We've seen what's happened with trades. They haven't happened.
Keep your eye on them. That's all I'm saying.
But
I would love T. Higgins or Lamb. I just think of the list you said. Cooper's the most likely, followed probably by Godwin.
Well, I think Cooper's the most likely because you figure on his next deal, it won't be maxed as these other guys are getting now. Him and Alex Van Pelt were together in Cleveland. And if you're talking about dealing with a new quarterback, how many quarterbacks did they rotate with last year? Cleveland had five. Yeah. Joe Flacco was their quarterback so you can't say, hey, I haven't been in a situation where we're trying to figure out who the quarterback is. So I think it's you don't even have to make the trade for Amari Cooper. I think you just play everything out this year, see what the young receivers do, get Amari Cooper next year, and then roll with that and maybe someone you could pick up in the draft, because at the end of the day, it still comes back down to the O-line, does it not?
I think that's the reason Drake May didn't play as much the other night. I think that's the biggest thing they still have to fix on the team going into next year. Yeah, that's still the biggest thing.
Hey, later in the show, I'll tell you about how I was impressed with Mac Jones last night against Kansas City. But right now, coming in one of our newest members of the WEEI team, he goes by Freeze Pops, but let me tell you, his takes are hot, baby. Tom Carroll, a.k.a. Tommy Freeze Pops, welcome to KJ and Lions. Man, good Sunday to you.
Yeah, I like that intro there. Hot takes. Here we go.
This is sports entertainment galore. I don't know what happens during the rest of the week, but during this time, you get sports entertainment. So let's just jump right into it, and Johnny just mentioned this. What is the we think it's because of the offensive line, right? But Drake May playing, what, six plays? Did that seem like a absurdly low number?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, everyone in the press box kind of groaned like, oh, really? Is this guy done for the night? I think it was 7 snaps, 6 total plays, because there was an offensive line pre-snap penalty, of course, in the mix there. So it was a waste. I mean, you have this young guy, and you're going up against a Panthers team who's telling you from the jump, hey, we're going out there with our third and fourth stringers. Let him go out there and get some reps. These games don't come around all that often, right? You got the Eagles game this upcoming Thursday, and then preseason game 3 has become what preseason game 4 was, where no one plays. So you're limiting yourself to 1 week of live full-speed game action against another NFL team for your rookie quarterback to get reps against. And to waste those reps on Bailey Zappe for, you know, the conspiracy theories are out there as to why, it just felt like a wasted opportunity, and it was disappointing.
Tom, I want to kind of zoom out from that and ask you a question about Jerod Mayo, because he was obviously the leader in the decision to only play Drake May for the 7 snaps, 6 plays. What did you make of the overall operation of things? Right, this was his first game as head coach. He had the big decision to make with Drake May. Do you feel like it was a good night, bad night for a Jerod Mayo? Where do you come down on that?
I mean, I guess it was fine. I mean, preseason football, you're not going to learn too much, right? I really want to see Jerod in a high-pressure situation where he has to make a tough decision in a game of consequence. Like, this was kind of a blowout-ish game, even though, you know, it wasn't high scoring per se, but the Panthers are arguably the worst team in the NFL, and they were giving you their third and fourth stringers. So they weren't able to really do anything. So the Patriots defense looked really good. The offense looked good once they got Milton out there. And I guess it was fine for Mayo. He didn't do anything that looked terrible, right? I guess I would ding him on the fact that we didn't get enough Drake May. So let's give him a solid B-, but what does that really mean given the fact that it was just preseason game 1 against a bad team?
Yeah, Tommy, that's kind of hard for me to give. I think I might have to start a feature on here called Pass the Plate on Sundays just to preach the word of protecting Mayo. I don't know how you give him a B- when I think, and Johnny just mentioned this, is you don't really see too much in preseason, so you have to kind of read between the tea leaves. So it made sense for me that that Bailey Zappe played a lot, because I think he needs to be featured a lot if he's going to be dealt somewhere. And I think that's the reason why you saw an extended Bailey Zappe out there. Do you believe that the reason why Zappe was out there for extended minutes is for other teams to get extended looks?
That makes the most sense, but even that logic doesn't really fly with me because you have plenty of game tape on Bailey Zappe at this point, and you have the Steelers win down in Pittsburgh where he looked great. So isn't that enough for teams to look at and say, okay, we know what Bailey Zappe is. We know what he can do in this league. That's the tape. I don't see why you need to have preseason tape on Bailey Zappe playing against the Carolina Panthers third and fourth stringers to get this guy to be traded or moved or what have you. I'm not even sure how much value Bailey Zappe has. Like, what are you getting back in return for Bailey Zappe, a sixth or a seventh? I mean, Justin Fields got moved for, I believe, a sixth to the Steelers. So are you saying that Bailey Zappe is worth as much as Justin Fields, who is going to quite possibly be the starter down in Pittsburgh? That's what it sounds like camp is going like down there. Him and Russell Wilson are having a legit QB competition. So I don't think Bailey Zappe gets that type of trade demand. So I don't know, man. It was confusing, really confusing. I know they're trying to treat Drake May with kid gloves, and they want to be extra cautious. They didn't want him out there with the second offensive line. I get it. Leave your first unit offensive line out there longer if you're really worried about that. Also, your second unit of offensive linemen has plenty of NFL experience. The guy's not going to get destroyed out there, especially when they're going up against a Panthers defensive front that is depleted from talent with their starters out there, let alone their backups. So you could tell I'm fired up about this. And for a preseason game, I had some real feelings coming out of it. I wanted to see more Drake May. I think it was a really big wasted opportunity.
Oh, yeah, and I think the Zappe time was more about even the guys around him than it was so much him as far as evaluation goes. But I want to ask you, Tom, you mentioned the offensive line. There's some young pieces there. There's also some young receivers. When you look at some of the pieces that the Patriots brought in this offseason, whether it's those young O-linemen, those young receivers, what did you make of them? Do you feel like maybe they have some things to develop there, receiver? Are you concerned with the offensive line as I am? Where are you at with some of the non-quarterback pieces we saw the other night?
I mean, you can't not be concerned with the offensive line given what we have at left and right tackle at the moment, which is, you know, a blank spot at both spots. We don't know who's going to start at either position come week one. And the guys they have in the mix for those spots haven't been successful pros. They've had a lot of issues. So if they can make a move that can bolster the tackle spot this month ahead of week one, I'm still in favor of that. I don't think it's likely. Usually if you're getting a guy this time of year on the offensive line, they're not a game-changing type offensive lineman. So that has to be concern number one, two, and three at the moment. So that's on its own. When it comes to the receivers, I feel actually surprisingly good about where they're at with their young guys. Baker and Polk have looked really good this camp. I think Rager has looked really good. I think Booty had a nice night the other night. They have some good young talent. Now, would that preclude me from wanting to bring in a Brandon Ayuk or, you know, CeeDee Lamb is making noise down in Dallas? Of course not. Of course I'd take those guys, especially if the price is right. But what you have in place with the young receivers here, I think you actually, for the first time in a very long time, can feel good about where this can go. Now, it remains to be seen if they're going to live up to the hype, but from what we've seen a few weeks into camp and then what we saw the other night, I think there's something there.
Tom Carroll, Tommy Freeze Pops here on WEEI, part of our WEEI.com family. Tom, so obviously the most exciting portion of preseason game one was Joe Milton out there. We talk about this offensive line and how it doesn't get together, and you're right. If there was such a great offensive tackle out there that was readily available now, he should already be here. And I don't know how they don't grow on trees. So if you've got a potential situation with a Jacoby Brissett out there who's getting absolutely hammered by a decimated line, do you put Drake May out there or do you start running a more mobile offense until you can fix that line potentially with Joe Milton in pieces?
Man, I just don't think that you could put a ton of stock into what we saw from Joe Milton the other night and keep him in the plans for what the, you know, offense is going to look like during the regular season because of who he was playing against. Like,
if you have an offensive line that cannot protect, what happens to the quarterback? He stands up or does he fall down?
Of course he's going to be on his back, right? But look, Joe Milton looked awesome, but we've seen the fool's gold of preseason every year almost, right? I mean, I remember when Jacoby Brissett had like 5 touchdown passes in a preseason game and they traded him the next day.
Tom, I'm talking about getting away from danger, right? If you put Drake May back there, you're talking about potentially putting your franchise into the ground, and you don't want to do that. Jacoby Brissett has taken hits over the years, and how many more hits can he take? Do you potentially look at, say, we may need to keep a mobile quarterback on this roster just to keep people protected?
Oh, look, of course, he's going to make the roster. I think that goes without saying. They don't draft him where they drafted him and give him the reps they've given him so far if they don't think he's going to be here, at least in the short term. But when it comes to playing week one, I think that we just need to, I feel like I need to just say this publicly. Like, Joe Milton is not going to be the starter of this team week one. That's just not going to happen. I don't think that he is going to be a guy that's going to be in the mix for playing time unless something unforeseen happens here. He's a fun story. It was fun the other night. And look, maybe something happens over these next few weeks that proves me wrong here, but I just don't see him as a guy that is going to be, you know, in the mix here, you know, come week one.
Tom, we've talked a lot about the players on offense so far, but Alex Van Pelt is first year in New England, first full season calling plays for an offense. What did you make of him on Thursday night against Carolina? Do you think he had a good night his first time out? You think he's got a lot to work on? Where's he at?
You know, it's going to be kind of annoying that I'm continuing to hammer this point, but the only thing I can really focus on, given what Gerard told us in the post game, is the fact that AVP seemingly was the guy that was pushing hard for Drake May to not get the reps that he should have gotten on Thursday night. So, like, of course, they won the game, and there were points throughout the game where the offense looked like it was moving the ball well, but the main thing I wanted to see from the offense was Drake May getting reps, and AVP seemingly has Drake May on this strict development plan. And they said, we're going to stick to the plan. Everything's planned out. We knew going into the game, he was only going to get one series. I just don't agree with that plan. I don't think it's the best development plan. So what those reasons are for why that is the plan for Drake are beyond me. So again, it's hard for me to look past that, given that it is a preseason game, right? So you're only going to learn so much. So what I wanted to see was the young guy get reps. And so that's the thing I'm going to ding him on the most, is the operations side of it for AVP was get Drake May in the game more, and that didn't happen.
All right, Tom, before you go, best frozen fruit dessert. Best frozen fruit dessert.
Okay, best frozen fruit dessert.
It could be a pop, it could be fruit itself.
Sure. I mean, can I go with like a banana split? Or does that count,
that's
right?
That's not a frozen.
Big old banana right in the middle of some ice cream? Give me that.
Oh, my goodness. That's two snacks there, yeah. Tommy Freeze Pops, WEEI.com. Tom Carroll, thanks for your work, and we will talk to you again here soon on KJ and Lions.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, yeah, you can't cheat when you say banana split like that. Like, you go with like frozen watermelon or frozen grapes. But look, John, the point I was getting at was the foreseeable future is this offensive line is not going to get better. Am I crazy to say that?
Yeah, I don't think they're. I mean, they can do some tweaking here and there, but I don't think it's going to get demonstrably better.
Okay,
than what
right.
We saw.
So while you're doing that,
like,
tweaking,
it'll get a little better, but not
while
better.
That tweaking is happening, you know what happens? Rushers get through the line, and you don't want to wish any harm on anybody, but if Jacoby Brissett takes the wrong hit or an ankle becomes too swollen to be able to operate, you're now going to rush Drake May into that situation?
Or do you say
Joe Milton at least gives you some flexibility to keep the play call simple, know that there's going to be flexibility, you have to prepare for the run. And look, nothing was going deep over the last 3 years anyway, so might as well work with what you have, at least in terms of mobility.
So I think you get the right idea, but you got the wrong guy there, KJ. Because to me, I think the guy you got to look at if you get into that area of concern, it's not Joe Milton, it's Bailey Zappe. I think Zappe's future here is tied directly to Drake May's development. Because to your point, if they get into a situation where, God forbid, Jacoby Brissett gets hurt in week two, if they feel like Drake May is ready to go and he can step in there and he can survive and be okay, he'll be the number two QB on the depth chart and he'll go in there and he'll play. But if they don't think May is there yet, and we only saw the one series the other night, then I think Zappe will be here and Zappe will be that guy to step in. I don't think it'll be Joe Milton. I think it'll be Zappe just because he has a track record of at least starting games in the NFL. For all the criticisms we have of him, he at least has that track record. So I think you have the right idea. I just think you got the wrong guy that's going to be their answer to the question.
So you remember last year where it was kind of like, okay, who was going to, it was like, which quarterback's going to the practice squad? That was last year. I watched that Chiefs-Jacksonville game last night, and this has absolutely nothing to do with Mac Jones. This has to do with Carson Wentz, the backup. He's the number two backup to Patrick Mahomes out there, and he looked horrible. And I wonder, when I thought, I was just like, what if the Chiefs said, you know what? We don't want it. We don't want a Carson Wentz here. What if we got someone like a Bailey Zappe who knows what it's like to get in there when there's a fire, and it isn't going to cost us a whole lot? If you're the Patriots, do you take that phone call and say, no, we don't want to trade Bailey Zappe?
Again, I think it comes down to how they feel about May. I think if they feel like May can step in there in week two or week three if Brissett gets hurt, then yeah, you take that phone call and you make the deal. Otherwise, you don't. And again, a lot of it is May's development, but then the offensive line point's a big thing, right? Like that first-team offensive line played two series the other night. Then Vidarian Lowe at left tackle, they're so thin there, he had to go out and play with the second unit O-line for a while at left tackle. Like, that's how thin they are there. And, hey, like, Laydon Robinson looked okay at guard in some of his action, obviously, with the second team. But that's one guy there, right? So you still don't fully know what you're doing. Like, I like David Andrews. I love Mike Onwenu. I think Sidy So's good on the inside. But it's not just left tackle either, KJ, right? Like, Okorafor at right tackle, he's played right tackle a lot. But if... I mean, we got to see how good he actually is there. Caden Wallace, I like, but he's a rookie. So, again, I just think that there's questions, especially at left tackle, but even a little bit at right tackle as well.
Here's what I find interesting. Who is the most worshipped and idolized player in the history of this franchise? Don't even say his name. What round was he in?
Sixth.
Okay, so how come every other sixth rounder is like, oh, this guy's not.
Yeah, but do we have to do this? And I'm not saying you personally, but I talked about this during the week with Mega. Like, just
wait a minute. Did you mention KJ and Lyons when you were on Mega?
Oh, like five times. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
But just because Brady was a great player in the sixth round, people also now, every single time they have a day three draft pick play well, people equate him to be like, oh, he can have the career Brady. Like, no. But even Brock Purdy, he's a good player. Is he an elite great player?
I'm not saying they have to be a Hall of Fame greatest of all time.
Yeah, but we can't just say, oh, he had a good few minutes in the fourth quarter of a preseason game, and that means he's going to be good.
It's
got to
start somewhere, right?
I know it has to start somewhere, but people do this every year because Brady played here. People did it with Malik Cunningham last year, and then when Malik Cunningham went to the Ravens, everybody wanted to be excited.
Nobody was saying that Mac Jones was going up against third stringers. Nobody was screaming that. They were saying how good he looked.
No, I think you were saying he wasn't that good, actually, KJ.
No, I said he was a guy. I was saying, look, he was going against third stringers.
Yeah, so
but at the time, nobody was saying
it.
That. There
you
were. No one. I said it,
exactly.
And I was right. But I'm saying,
so you were right.
If Joe Milton can show you a little bit more, and you know you've got a bad offensive line situation, you're going to need somebody who's going to move.
But what did Joe Milton really show us? Like, it was fun, and I think that's the headline. But he almost threw an interception on an out route. He had a scramble for 12 yards that was exciting, but he ran around a lot in the backfield, which probably isn't good in a regular season game if it came down to that. And then even the touchdown pass he threw, it was fun. It was a great touchdown. Ironically, he actually underthrew that ball a little. I mean, I know we're used to him throwing it 80 yards at a time, 100 miles an hour. But, like, it was fun. Don't get me wrong. It was fun, and I want him to make the team.
What is the worst thing a quarterback can do in the backfield? What is the worst thing he could do?
turn his back? And that's Joe Milton did on
by
the way?
Or take a sack. If you've got an offensive line that's as porous as Swiss cheese, you've got to move. And if there are people, the two guys in front of you don't move, that may be a case. I hope it doesn't come to that. Look, we're up against the break.
Yep.
We'll get to your calls. KJ Lyons, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Lyons Den next. Thank you so much for hanging out in WEEI.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons, the most electrifying show on television and radio. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We are 2 minutes away from the Lyons Den. Plus, the Olympics, medals rescinded, coaching decisions, mothers speaking out, all that and more. Text line 37937. Let's go to Steve first. Steve, thanks so much for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
How are you guys?
Good, Steve.
So let me get this straight. We had a God forbid this morning, and you said something about Mac Jones playing against third stringers. What was the context of that one, Chris?
Oh, when Mac Jones was lighting everything on fire and how great he looked, it was against third stringers when he was getting in there during his preseason, his rookie year.
Okay, so God forbid, God forbid Jacoby Brissett is our starter. Not he gets hurt. God forbid he is our starter. It's a salary situation. About the offensive line, it's a problem when you don't have a set offensive line. And in the year 2000, the team went 5-11. I've still been trying to wrap my head around how a team who would win the Super Bowl next year and had been in the playoffs three or four times, could fall to 5 wins. And it all started with moving around this offensive line. I'm at a game at the stadium. They're bringing guys in like they were a dime package or a wide receiver package. It was offensive linemen. I had never seen it before. Your problems emanate from your offensive line, and they haven't corrected this problem, and it doesn't matter who they have at quarterback. They needed to address this problem. It's the fundamental, elemental building of your offense. I mean, there's no other way to go. You don't have the time, you can't score.
How many years, KJ, has the offensive line at least been somewhat of a concern, at least in spots? This is not a new issue. Like, even in 2021, right, they were seventh in the league in points per game. They were a good offense. You still had some questions at left tackle. Remember Isaiah Wynn was the left tackle for stretches that you had some questions. And then in 2022, remember right tackle was just a turnstile until Connor McDermott came in late in the year. And even then, it was just barely average, and your O-line wasn't great. And then, of course, last year, you got some good weeks of left tackle play, some bad weeks of left tackle play. Right tackle was once again an issue until they moved Mike Onwenu out there. And then, you know, the interior of the offensive line was really inconsistent. Like, this is not a new thing, KJ. It's been years.
We talked about it last week. Some of the lower-ranked teams in terms of offensive line tend to have more mobile quarterbacks, like Baltimore's 24th. I think Buffalo's like 21st. Jacksonville's 20th. Maybe Buffalo is like 16, the Cowboys are 15th, but they've got guys who can move. So while they may have second half of the league quality offensive lines, they have guys who can move. If you look at some of the top teams, these are guys that don't have move. The Browns, you could say that Jalen Hurts does move in Philadelphia, and Patrick Mahomes does as well. But everybody doesn't have Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. So I think it's, you know, six of one and half a dozen of another.
And it's also, too, if you have, like, one weak spot on your offensive line, you can kind of scheme around there. Like, if you know your right tackle's an issue.
It just can't be on the left side.
And that's the thing. Like, that's the caveat of, okay, well, you can have one issue, but you really don't want that to be your left tackle.
They'll get a left-handed
quarterback. And right now, it's fair, they have more than one issue. Like, I know left tackle's the big one,
right?
But they got to shore up right tackle right now, too. And, like, even the teams you mentioned, like, and not to go too deep into it, but, like, San Francisco has like a lower ranked offensive line by PFF, but they have the best skill group in the NFL. They have a great offensive coach, and they still have the best left tackle.
They got the best
in
left
the
tackle,
NFL
right?
In Trim Williams, right?
Right. So he's the one that gets the A for four other guys on the line.
And even Baltimore, like, okay, they're, you know, ranked a little lower. Like, they still
but you
have
got Lamar Jackson, right?
And they still have at least a couple great individual offensive linemen, which can kind of help out around there.
All right, text line 37937. What you got, Jacob?
So I have both quarterbacks that were picked ahead of them look really good. He looks really bad. He will be the bust.
Yeah, I think it's the bust. He means Sabres.
Oh, the bust out of the three Patriots. They effed up not taking Harrison.
I mean, that's spoiled milk. But again, who would Harrison's quarterback be? That's one. And two, Drake May, I think you have to think of it in a 4 or 5 year stretch, more so than a 4 or 5 day stretch or 4 or 5 games. So, yeah, Marvin Harrison would have been ideal, but also you would have wanted Mac Jones to have been, if he had improved a bit, then you say, okay, there's the receiver he needs. Of course, you need the quarterback. So if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. 37937, one more text, then we'll get to the Lions then.
May can't even take snaps under center. May sucks and is so overrated in this region. National, he sucks. He will be a bust.
I did watch him take snaps under center the other night, and he did okay. I'm just
saying. So look, I did call him Mitch Trubisky Jr., and that's what I said, what we could be looking at. I'm coming off of that for now because we haven't seen him in a real game yet, and what he did and what they gave him to do. He did it well, and that's all you can ask for. And if you saw more, I don't know if the conversation could be completely different.
And look, KJ, I'm not trying to pass judgment here, be a jerk, but you remember in the fall, we would have all those people call us and say they got to fire Bill Belichick, and then when they fired him, those same people called and said, I can't believe they fired
him.
Right, like in the spring and in April when May was drafted, everybody knew, hey, he's going to be a development guy. That's why the Bears didn't take him one. The Commanders didn't take him two. They took guys who are a little bit more pro-ready. We all knew that. Like, that's been a thing. And
but
now all of a sudden,
Williams and May at one point.
And now all of a sudden, because they're developing him and it's not going as quickly as the guys that were more pro-ready, people
what
are angry about it. Like, we knew this all along. Like, it's going to take more than a few weeks for Drake May to be ready to play. And
that's why, by the way. That's why I haven't been out of my chest differently when it was Mac Jones was like, Mac is the guy. I was like, oh, where did you see any of this?
And if you look at a lot of the good QBs in the NFL, it's kind of a mix. Like, some started right away, like Joe Burrow. I know he got hurt, but like, he started right away,
but he played all 4 years in college.
Sure. But then other guys, right, like Lamar Jackson and Mahomes didn't start right away. Justin Herbert wouldn't have, except Tyrod Taylor got basically stabbed by the team doctor before a game. But even Herbert didn't start week one. So it's kind of a mix. Some guys start right away, some don't. Like, what matters is you do what's best for the guy. Like, the May situation is not the same as Williams or Daniels. It wasn't then, it's not now.
I don't think May could play superhero and suddenly this team be a 10-7 team. Be like, oh my God, look what they did.
Yeah.
Unless some other thing. Right, because you don't have all those pieces in place. I think if you can look at a team that's 6-11, that's progress from last year, and that's all you want. You just don't want to go backwards. All right, before we go to break, it's time for...
See the one about lions?
Yeah!
Can't lose to this head after.
King of the jump.
Alright, Lions Den time, where we serve them up to John. He depends on whether he slays them or pets them. Will the Patriots roar against the Eagles this week?
No, I think they're going to meow. Hate to say it, but I mean, the Eagles are coming to town for a joint practice in a preseason game. They might have the best defensive line in football. They have a great Super Bowl contending team, so there's a gap there.
Here, kitty, kitty, huh? Yeah. The Red Sox lost 2 in a row. Will they roar back and avoid the sweep today?
I think they will. I think, first of all, I don't think they're going to lose 3 in a row to Houston, but also Hunter Brown, Houston starter, been kind of inconsistent, had a good outing last outing, but before that gave up 5 runs. I think they might be able to get to him offensively.
And from Paris, do you expect the closing ceremony, Du Olympics, to roar or meow that we forget?
Not meow. I don't think I remember a single closing ceremony in my entire life, KJ.
That was the opening ceremony where Muhammad Ali had the fire in his hand.
Yeah, that was the open. He lit the torch there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the almost lit Atlanta, too. All right, second hour of KJ and Lions next. WEEI. Good Sunday to you.
This is KJ and Lions on WEEI.
Lions Show on television and radio. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We are 2 minutes away from the Lions Den. Plus, the Olympics. Medals rescinded. Coaching decisions. Mothers speaking out. All that and more. Text line 37937. Let's go to Steve first. Steve, thanks so much for calling KJ Lions. You're on the air.
How are you guys?
Good, Steve.
So let me get this straight. We had a God forbid this morning, and you said something about Mac Jones playing against third stringers. What was the context of that one, Chris? You said you were accused of...
Of saying that Mac...
What was the context of that?
Oh, when Mac Jones was lighting everything on fire and how great he looked, it was against third stringers when he was getting in there during the preseason, his rookie year.
Okay. So, God forbid, I'm going to God forbid you. God forbid Jacoby Brissett is our starter. Not he gets hurt. God forbid he is our starter. It's a salary situation. About the offensive line, it's a problem when you don't have a set offensive line. And in the year 2000, the team went 5-11. I've still been trying to wrap my head around how a team who would win the Super Bowl next year and had won, had been in three or four playoffs, could fall to 5 wins. And it all started with moving around this offensive line. I'm at a game at the stadium. They're bringing guys in like they were a dime package or a wide receiver package. It was offensive linemen. I had never seen it before. Your problems emanate from your offensive line, and they haven't corrected this problem, and it doesn't matter who they have at quarterback. They needed to address this problem. It's the fundamental elemental building of your offense. I mean, there's no other way to go. You
Steve,
don't have the time.
Yeah.
You can't score.
Yeah, how many years, KJ, has the offensive line at least been somewhat of a concern, at least in spots? This is not a new issue. Like, even in 2021, right, they were seventh in the league in points per game. They were a good offense. You still had some questions at left tackle. Remember Isaiah Wynn was the left tackle for stretches that you had some questions. And then in 2022, remember right tackle was just a turnstile until Connor McDermott came in late in the year. And even then, it was just barely average, and your O-line wasn't great. And then, of course, last year, it was – you got some good weeks of left tackle play, some bad weeks of left tackle play. Right tackle was once again an issue until they moved Mike Onwenu out there. And then, you know, the interior of the offensive line was really inconsistent. Like, this is not a new thing, KJ.
Well,
it's been years.
We talked about it last week. Some of the lower-ranked teams in terms of offensive line tend to have more mobile quarterbacks, like Baltimore's 24th. I think Buffalo's like 21st. Jacksonville's 20th. Maybe Buffalo's like 16, the Cowboys are 15th, but they've got guys who can move. So while they may have second half of the league quality offensive lines, they have guys who can move. If you look at some of the top teams, these are guys that don't have move. The Browns, you could say that Jalen Hurts does move in Philadelphia, and Patrick Mahomes does as well. But everybody doesn't have Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. So I think it's, you know, six of one and half a dozen of another.
And it's also, too, if you have, like, one weak spot on your offensive line, you can kind of scheme around there. Like, if you know your right tackle's an issue.
It just can't be on the left side.
And that's the thing. Like, that's the caveat of, okay, well, you can have one issue, but you really don't want that to be your left tackle.
Get a left-handed
and right now, it's fair, they have more than one issue. Like, I know left tackle's the big one,
right?
But they got to shore up right tackle right now, too. And, like, even the teams you mentioned, like, and not to go too deep into it, but, like, San Francisco has like a lower ranked offensive line by PFF, but they have the best skill group in the NFL. They have a great offensive coach, and they still have the best left tackle.
They got the best
in
left
the
tackle,
NFL
right?
In Trim Williams, right?
Right. So he's the one that gets the A for four other guys on the line.
And even Baltimore, like, okay, they're, you know, ranked a little lower. Like, they still
have Lamar Jackson, right?
And they still have at least a couple great individual offensive linemen, which can kind of help out around there.
All right, text line 37937. What you got, Jacob?
So I have both quarterbacks that were picked ahead of them look really good. He looks really bad. He will be the bust.
Yeah, I think it's the bust. He means six.
Oh, the bust out of the three Patriots. They effed up not taking Harrison.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's spoiled milk. But again, who would Harrison's quarterback be? That's one. And two, Drake May, I think you have to think of it in a 4 or 5 year stretch, more so than a 4 or 5 day stretch or 4 or 5 games. So, yeah, Marvin Harrison would have been ideal, but also you would have wanted Mac Jones to have been, if he had improved a bit, then you say, okay, there's the receiver he needs. Of course, you need the quarterback. So if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. 37937, one more text, then we'll get to the Lions then.
May can't even take snaps under center. May sucks and is so overrated in this region. National, he sucks. He will be a bust.
I watch him take snaps under center the other night, and he did okay. I'm just saying.
So look, I did call him Mitch Trubisky Jr., and that's what I said, what we could be looking at. I'm coming off of that for now because we haven't seen him in a real game yet, and what he did and what they gave him to do. He did it well, and that's all you can ask for. And if you saw more, I don't know if the conversation could be completely different.
And look, KJ, I'm not trying to pass judgment here, be a jerk, but you remember in the fall, we would have all those people call us and say they got to fire Bill Belichick, yeah. And then when they fired him, those same people called and said, I can't believe they fired
him.
Yeah, right, like in the spring and in April when May was drafted, everybody knew, hey, he's going to be a development guy. That's why the Bears didn't take him one. The Commanders didn't take him two. They took guys who are a little bit more pro-ready. We all knew that. Like, that's been a thing. And now all of a sudden,
Williams and May at one point.
And now all of a sudden, because they're developing him and it's not going as quickly as the guys that were more pro-ready, people are angry about it. Like, we knew this all along. Like, it's going to take more than a few weeks for Drake May to be ready to play. And that's why, by the way.
That's why I haven't been out of my chest differently when it was Mac Jones was like, Mac is the guy. I was like, oh, where did you see any of this?
And if you look at a lot of the good QBs in the NFL, it's kind of a mix. Like, some started right away, like Joe Burrow. I know he got hurt, but like, he started right away,
but he played all 4 years in college.
Sure, but then other guys, right, like Lamar Jackson and Mahomes didn't start right away. Justin Herbert wouldn't have, except Tyrod Taylor got basically stabbed by the team doctor before a game. But even Herbert didn't start week one. So it's kind of a mix. Some guys start right away, some don't. Like, what matters is you do what's best for the guy. Like, the May situation is not the same as Williams or Daniels. It's not now.
I don't think May could play superhero and suddenly this team be a 10-7 team. Be like, oh my God, look what they did.
Yeah.
Unless some other thing. Right, because you don't have all those pieces in place. I think if you can look at a team that's 6-11, that's progress from last year, and that's all you want. You just don't want to go backwards. All right, before we go to break, it's time for...
See the one about lions?
Yeah!
Can't lose to this head after.
King of the jungle.
All right, Lions Den time, where we serve them up to John. He depends on whether he slays them or pets them. Will the Patriots roar against the Eagles this week?
No, I think they're going to meow. Hate to say it, but I mean, the Eagles are coming to town for a joint practice in a preseason game. They might have the best defensive line in football. They have a great Super Bowl contending team, so there's a gap there.
Here, kitty, kitty, huh? Yeah. The Red Sox lost 2 in a row. Will they roar back and avoid the sweep today?
I think they will. I think, first of all, I don't think they're going to lose 3 in a row to Houston, but also Hunter Brown, Houston starter, been kind of inconsistent, had a good outing last outing, but before that gave up 5 runs. I think they might be able to get to him offensively.
And from Paris, do you expect the closing ceremony du Olympics to roar or meow that we forget?
Not meow. I don't think I remember a single closing ceremony in my entire life, KJ.
That was the opening ceremony where Muhammad Ali had the fire in his hand.
Yeah, that was the open. He lit the torch there. Yeah,
it was the almost lit Atlanta, too. All right, second hour of KJ and Lions next. WEEI. Good Sunday to you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Or draft pick number 1.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.